Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to a brand new week of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben DuBose. Today's show is brought to you courtesy of our friends at BetDSI.com. If you sign up today with the promo code ROCKETS10, you can get $10 free to try their service. Well, first things first, I want to lead off with a very positive note, which is the Rockets are now 17-7 on the year. They got a big win in Oklahoma City Friday night, followed it up with a rout of the Dallas Mavericks. They did what they've always done this year against overmatched opponents. The Rockets took care of business very methodically, signed of a mature team. We've talked about it before. And the Rockets are now 17-7. Their winning percentage is now over 700. And if you want to track it as far as on pace, they are on pace now to be a 58-win team, which is a phenomenal club considering they've still had one of the top 10 most difficult schedules in the NBA and more road games than home games. So they're tracking well. I actually think there are 58 to 60 win team. Probably not, but this does buy you a little bit of insurance. If you do have a slump, if the defense regresses, if there's any sort of injury that's a short-term nature, then yes, this buys you a little bit of insurance. So certainly you can bank wins while you can, and this week is big for that because Rockets are home for three more games. They should be pretty sizable favorites in all of those games. So even if they're not quite a 58 to 61 team in reality, being able to bank those wins should provide you some insurance as they go down the stretch of the year. Now, in terms of insurance, another thing the Rockets were banking on for that was Donatas Mataiunas. We thought Friday that everything was finally done. We learned Saturday, well, not so fast. With Demo, it seems to never end. Now there could be an issue with his physical. There's not really that much clarity on it at this point. I'll get to that on the back half of the show. But to start off with, I want to talk about, well, the positive, which is the games themselves. And Saturday night against Dallas, I don't know that much to say other than, as we've seen all year, the Rockets took care of business against an overmatched opponent. And that's great because on the second night of a back-to-back, coming off a big win, an emotional win like Friday night's in Oklahoma City's, it was a very similar scenario to a week ago when the Rockets had to go to Denver after the big win at Golden State. Now, certainly the travel time from Oklahoma City to Houston, not nearly as intensive as Golden State to Denver. Also wasn't the fifth of a five-game road trip. Also wasn't a double overtime game in Oklahoma City. But you still had the same dynamics at play, and the Rockets, rather than come out happy, they went out and took care of business. And yes, it was great to see them come out hot in the first half, scored 36 points. But the real story for the Rockets these past couple of weeks, their defensive efficiency continues to tick upward. Now, most of their metrics are middle of the pack. We started the year with the Rockets in the 20s and almost everything defensively. Now we're starting to see them in the teens. And both of these games, they held the Thunder, a pretty good offensive team, to 99 points. They held the Mavericks to 87. Now, no one's saying the 5-18 Dallas Mavericks are all that good, but to hold back-to-back opponents to under 100 points at the pace at which the Rockets play, that's pretty impressive. You're starting to see them take some real steps forward, and of course, it all goes back to the return of Pat Beverley. We've talked about how the Rockets have only lost two times in the now 11 games, I believe, since Beverley's return, but it's not just Pat. Trevor Ariza, it's been a big week for him. And before the year, we said that, well, a lot of his fall off last year in the defensive end was likely due to the culture. So far, that's exactly what we've seen. James Harden is playing pretty good defense, especially away from the ball. That was a big weakness for him a year ago. And these days, it seems like at least two or three times a game, you see him read a passing lane and make a big play to spark the Rockets on a run. And, of course, you're seeing more contributions off the bench as well. I think Montrezl Harrell has come a long way. One thing we discussed earlier last week was the ability to switch on everything when Montrezl Harrell is your center. Because when he is in there, 1 through 5, they can basically switch on everything, and that gives the Rockets another dimension. So they're never going to be a great defensive team. I don't know if they have a true rim protector, although Clint Capela has gotten at least better on that front. But they're at least going to be average. And if you can be an average defensive team with the type of scoring and shooting that the Rockets have, then yeah, you can be one of the upper echelon teams in the league, which is what they seem to be right now at 17-7, and at the moment at least, tracking on course for a 58-plus win season. Right now they're tied for third in the West because of the Clippers' loss to Golden State last week. Besides the defense, the other thing that you should give credit for in the Saturday night win over Dallas is the shooting. 19 of 37 from three, that's above 50%. You're going to beat almost every team in the NBA if you shoot like that from distance. Now, they beat the Mavs by 22 because, well, the Mavs just aren't a good team. But even if you play a good team, you shoot 51% from three, you're going to be in really good shape. And Trevor Ariza, I've said this was an enormously impressive week for him. Despite battling the back spasms, 4 of 8 from three guys off the bench. Montrezl Harrell, Corey Brewer actually made a three each. Eric Gordon continued his blistering pace, 6 of 9 from three. So it's a terrific sign to see them shoot well on the second night of a back-to-back. And as I said, going back to the Golden State-Denver parallel, that's the kind of thing that can travel well, because your defense might slump a little bit, although it didn't for the Rockets Saturday night, thankfully, but your defense, your energy, those are where tired legs can take effect. But if you are truly good at shooting, and many of the Rockets shooters, I mean, it's set shots. They're doing the work with their arms. It's something that they can do in their sleep. That's the kind of thing that can make them able to handle the rigors of an 82-game schedule more than maybe Rockets teams in the past. Because shooting is something, yes, you shoot with your legs a little bit, but by and large, most of these guys, these are set shooters. These are arm shooters. And this is something that even if they're tired, you can roll into a gym on 3 hours of sleep and still make a lot of threes if you are comfortable in your mechanics. And that's what it seems like the Rockets are this year. They did it in Denver. They did it Saturday night in Dallas as well. And so any slippage that there might have been in terms of energy, ability to drive hard to the basket, that's counteracted by your ability to shoot. And of course, that also allowed James Harden to rack up all sorts of assists. He only shot 4 of 12 from the field for 18 points, but had 16 assists and 9 rebounds, just one rebound short of a triple-double again. But as I'm sure he would tell you, they got the win. So, well, he didn't care about the triple-double if they get the win. And if they make their shots, yeah, he can get 15, 16 assists very easily in this offense. Give credit to him, because even though his shot wasn't falling, he still was willing to drive to the basket. And I think that was a big part of how the Rockets were able to get so many good looks from three in the win over the Dallas Mavericks. Now, the harder game of the two, of course, was the Friday night in Oklahoma City. Rockets had to hold on for dear life, and in some respects, it was similar to the Rockets-Thunder game from November, when the Rockets went scoreless down the stretch of the game, basically did not score a point in the final 6-plus minutes, and blew a big lead. And it felt like that was happening again. Rockets only scored 16 points in the fourth quarter, so despite entering the quarter with a 9-point lead, and at one point, I think they got it up to 12 or 13, the Thunder made this very uncomfortable down the stretch, got it as close as one, but the Rockets were able to hold them off. Big story, Pat Beverly, that's the big change from the first matchup in Oklahoma City. That was the game before Pat Beverly came back. We've seen that Pat Beverly this year, it's the best he's looked defensively in the past 3 years. I've commented on that before, and it seems pretty obvious by now. And even though Beverly was 1 of 8 in that game against the Thunder, he was instrumental in them getting the win, because of how he was able to defend Russell Westbrook down the stretch. I posted on my Twitter feed, but the job he did taking away the angles from Westbrook, making him take tough threes, the typical isolation hero ball that Oklahoma City employs with Westbrook late in games, it just was not working. And Westbrook for the game as a whole, 8 of 25. So this was a fantastic night for Pat Beverly, and that's why the Rockets were able to grind through their poor offensive stretch in December in Oklahoma City in a way that they were not in November in the same scenario when they did not have Pat Beverly to check Russell Westbrook. Now, the downside to this is, well, why did the Rockets only score 16 points in the fourth quarter? Why did it get this close again? And it goes back to what I've said before, which is the perfect storm scenario for the Rockets have a bad night offensively. Harden's cold, the team doesn't make threes, and Clint Capella isn't on his game. And all three of those things happened Friday night in Oklahoma City. Team shot 11 of 42 from three, that's just 26%. Harden shot 6 of 23 from the field, including 2 of 11 from 3. And Clint Capella, well, his traditional numbers look fine. He had 13 and 6 in 17 minutes. But he only played 17 minutes because he was a minus 14 in those 17 minutes. He was clearly outplayed when on the floor, so the Rockets had to go other directions. Actually, on the stretch of the game, actually went a couple of minutes with no one at, well, not no one, but they basically had Ryan Anderson in a super small ball lineup at center. But one thing that really stood out from this game, by the way, Capella played 17 minutes, Harrell 13, Nene 15. We heard D'Antoni say earlier in the week that, you know, he did not anticipate playing three centers, that it's hard, but he started to do that because Montrezl Harrell has clearly given him something to think about. And so Friday night in Oklahoma City, they really did play three centers. And I don't know long-term how reasonable that is, but it's something that they're at least exploring. And if they get Monty Unis back, that's a if at this point, it's something to keep in mind that all D'Antoni wants to do is win games. He's not going to try and massage minute totals, anything like that. Even if Clint Capella, who appears to be a well above average NBA center, if he's not having his good night, well, he'll get limited to 17 minutes. That's just the way it works. Now, as far as what happened to the Rockets in that game in Oklahoma City, I said before, the staple of Rockets offense, of course, is shooting threes. That did not happen. Shot 26%. So if you're not making your threes, where do the Rockets go for offense? The obvious takeaway is the pick and roll game. But to have success in the pick and roll game, it takes a couple of things. First off, you want Harden to occasionally make shots inside the arc. Because if they're going to roll Capella or whoever the center is and the defender hedges against them, you're going to need Harden to make plays in traffic near the rim. That did not happen nearly enough. 6 of 23 from the field, and even though he was 2 of 11 from 3, well, that means he was just 4 of 12 from inside the arc. So it was not a great night from James either way. And if James isn't converting himself on the pick and rolls, the other thing that needs to happen is your bigs need to finish near the basket. And that's something, especially down the stretch of the game, that it just didn't happen. Nene, it took him too long to get up. He got blocked a couple of times at the rim, did get fouled once, but he went just 1 of 2. By the way, that was a big turning point, I felt like, in the fourth quarter when Corey Brewer went 0 of 2 from the line. Nene went 1 of 2. They had some chances to build up that lead at the line and did not do it, and I think that helped Oklahoma City claw back in the game. But the bigger picture thing, Capella, he got fouled a couple of times, but even though he went 3 of 5 from the line, he did not go up quickly enough to finish before the foul. And the bottom line is, we've seen that before. That's what happened against Utah. When the Rockets play teams with elite rim protection and length, the likes of Steven Adams, the likes of Rudy Gobert, it makes it tougher to execute the pick-and-roll game to the extent that we see against 80% of the teams in the NBA. So you can try it, and it worked at times. They did get a couple of fouls, but unless you get that perfect alley-oop pass, it's really tough because if Capella, Nene, Montrez, whoever it is, if they take even a second to gather themselves on the pass to go up, a team like Oklahoma City has the ability to rotate over and still contest the shot. So the pick-and-roll game, I won't say it was completely ineffective, but it was a little bit more challenging than it is against most teams. So what happens if, you know, the pick and roll game gets challenging and you're not making your threes? Because the other answer is, well, you know, you kick it out. If they're hedging that much near the basket, you hope you're making your threes. Well, some nights you don't make them. And that's what happened against Oklahoma City on Friday night, 11 of 42 from three. So if all else fails, what do? Well, you need to make plays in isolation. And unfortunately, the Rockets are just not that equipped for that. What they have right now, the best case scenario is to get it to Harden, but you need Harden to be on his game. Friday night, he wasn't. He was 6 of 23. And other than Harden, there's not a lot of guys who you can give it to and trust to create their own shots. Maybe Eric Gordon, he did go 5 of 10 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3. If I had one critique on what they could have and should have done differently, I would have liked to have swung the ball to the weak side where Gordon was a couple of times and see if he could create something off the dribble. That's something he did in the overtime periods against Golden State that I thought maybe they should have tried again, because other than Harden, he's still, even though Gordon gets used as a shooter a lot, he's also probably your second best playmaker. So if they're overly committing to Harden in the pick and roll game, maybe you swing it back to Eric Gordon. That would be the one thing that I would say is a critique that maybe you learn from. But big picture, we know this is a weakness for them. Now, how can they address it? Well, short term, you hope they can get Donatus Manyunas in the fold. As I've said before, he's the kind of guy, he can create on the low block, so even if things aren't going well, you can dump it down, he can create his own offense. But secondly, I thought that was a game where he would fit really well because the Rockets, they seem very uncomfortable in the fourth quarter with traditional centers. The limitations that I just described, they tried Nene, they tried Harrell, they tried Capella. I think all three of those guys had minutes in the fourth quarter. None worked that effectively. So they briefly went small ball with no center, but that's a time that you can get Manyunas in there, and yes, he will give you the body of a center, but he can still play away from the basket and draw space, because when the Rockets went without a center, they're essentially saying, okay, we're not going to be able to play our normal pick-and-roll game, so what we want is spacing. And so Manyunas gives you the potential to have the kind of spacing that you want, a guy that can shoot from three, but still give you that kind of big body that can compete with Steven Adams on the low block. Now, we'll get to Demo in just a few moments, but for now, I'm just talking about a hole on this team and big picture. That's what keeps the Rockets a tier below the likes of the Golden State Warriors, because a team like the Warriors, you have at least two guys in Durant and Curry, maybe a third in Klay Thompson, that can create their shots at all times. Even if you play a really good defensive team and your normal offense is not working, they have guys that are just good enough to go out and make a play in the half court. Now, the Rockets have James Harden. That's enough to work in most games, and that's enough to win 55 to 60 games. But if you want to truly be a title contender, you probably need a second guy that can thrive in those settings. And so that's why, you know, we all have fun with this season. But big picture, the Rockets are still looking for that second star-level playmaker. For now, like I said, maybe Eric Gordon, you can try him a little bit more in that role. Donatus Manyunas, if you get him. But big picture, don't lose sight of what the Rockets' weaknesses are. To be a true title contender, they do need a second all-star level player alongside James. And I think that's the kind of scenario where it really shows you when everything else breaks down, you need another option besides James to potentially just go out there and make a play one-on-one. Now, we'll get back to Donatus Manyunas, the role that he might play in just a moment. For now, I'm going to break and give out a shout-out to our friends at BetDSI.com. They're our sponsor for today's show, and it's an appropriate sponsor because if you love the NBA and if you want to bet and get in on the action, they are an excellent site. They've been in business for over 20 years, top-rated business, very safe, great customer service, and, well, the payment of your winnings, it's very fast, very easy. If you've been betting on the Rockets this year, well, you've probably made a lot of money because they continue to overachieve. They continue to cover the spreads. One of the things that's really tough to do in the NBA is play the psychology game. How is a team going to come out when they're a heavy favorite and the Rockets have shown a willingness to go out and put the hammer down? We saw what they did against the Lakers. We saw what they did against the Mavericks. And we're going to see a lot more of that this week with the Nets, the Kings, the Pelicans at Toyota Center, three teams that the Rockets should beat. So if you want to get in and bet on the Rockets to cover, BetDSI.com right now has a fantastic NBA special. If you sign up today with the promo code ROCKETS10, you get $10 free to try their service. BetDSI is also offering you a 100% bonus on your first deposit if you choose to become a member after using your $10 free. Right now, they've got hundreds of football and basketball wagers to choose from, including live in-game wagering on all football and basketball games. They've also got other sporting events, UFC, you name it, they've got it at BetDSI.com. So right now, go to BetDSI.com. Again, BetDSI.com. Use that promo code ROCKETS10 and get your free $10 wager, and you can start winning today. Now, the less fortunate news that we got on Saturday evening, Rockets did win against the Dallas Mavericks to go to 17-7. But it's Donatus Manyunas. We did yet another Demo episode on Friday when the news leaked that they had negotiated a brand new contract, let him out of the old one, and we thought that was it. And we've said it was it for months now, and it never is, so I guess it's only fitting that, no, it's not it. There's an issue with the physicals. Now, things have been very vague. What we know is that Manyunas reported to Toyota Center to go through workouts, and they told him to go home because apparently there's some sort of hang-up with the physical. Now, they have not officially failed him yet. That's an important thing. When you get in a situation like this, it's very important to go to the direct sources because a lot of times, especially on Twitter, this stuff spreads like wildfire, and it's a game of telephone where the more layers you are removed from the situation, the more someone just throws in a little bit of opinion, and before you know it, it becomes something that it's not. The direct source, I'm going to go with Adrian Wojnarowski because, well, Woj is the god of NBA sports journalism. Sources: Houston still gathering medical info on Donatas Moninis' physical exam. Rockets not ready to activate him. That is not a failure. And that's important. I know it sounds that way because Moninis was told to go home, but that's pretty standard. If a guy hasn't, you know, gone through his physical, he has not been, you know, he's not under contract, and it's just standard legal protection. The Rockets aren't going to have him doing any sort of basketball activities and be on the hook for anything that goes wrong if he's not officially under contract. That's not making a sweeping indictment. That's just, you know, waiting for more information to go in. And sometimes it's not as bad as it seems. I'll take you guys back just to Tuesday. Remember when he didn't report for the physical, and during the day Tuesday, there were so many people questioning the chemistry. Well, Demo must hate Houston. Let him go. His agent, Daryl Morey. We were speculating about all these things. At the end of the day, there really wasn't that much acrimony because it was just a misunderstanding of the bonuses. And yes, that's still silly and ridiculously dumb on the part of Demo's representation, but we all thought, well, there must be some huge drama or anger at the Rockets. And all it was, they weren't even angry at the Rockets at all. They just didn't realize that the principal term bonuses were not really going to transfer from Brooklyn to Houston. And so what they thought was a four-year, $37 million deal maximum ended up being a four-year, $31 million deal. And so after spending all day Tuesday speculating about how angry he must be at the Rockets and how this is going to be a major chemistry issue, it wasn't a big deal at all. And within a, you know, a couple of days, the entire thing was sorted out. It was just a miscommunication over the money. Now, I don't think this is a miscommunication over the money because obviously they have come to terms. But what I'm saying is don't jump to conclusions. Maybe his, you know, we don't even know that it's necessarily his back. Now, it's fair to wonder that, of course, because he's had back surgery and the Pistons did void a trade at the deadline with the Rockets this past year. But all I'm saying is don't jump to conclusions. There are a lot of things that could be in play, and it could be as simple as getting an extra opinion and then Demo getting cleared. So there are a lot of things that could be going on, and for right now, best thing to do is just wait and see and remain optimistic, because the good thing with all of this, the contract, as we said Friday, is incredibly, incredibly favorable. The Rockets have no long-term commitment beyond this year. They move back the option date from March 1st to mid-July for the 2017-2018 season. So if the Rockets were to void the physical, I would say it would have to be really bad. Because right now, I mean, there's no long-term commitment other than $8.5 million for this year from Les Alexander. If his back ends up bad or whatever it is, they can just let him go after this year. Even if they can't trade him, they can just let him go by mid-July, and he has no impact on their salary cap structure moving forward. So the only downside, again, is $8.5 million, and because the Rockets are already above the cap, it's not like you can just go out and spend that money anyway. So I cannot imagine the Rockets voiding this deal unless they are truly concerned, unless they see something that is a huge red flag. I don't think this is going to be a situation where they see it as a convenient excuse to get out of the contract. If they want out of it all together, given the extremely limited long-term commitment, then it must be significant. And if they do, I'm not going to second guess them at all, because Daryl Morey understands, we said on Friday, just how favorable that contract is. If after all of that they want out of it, it must be extremely concerning. But again, I'm not there yet. There are a lot of things that could be going on. It could be as simple as they just want a couple more doctors to go through the medicals, and Demo wanted to get to work on Saturday, and the Rockets just had not quite had the time to go through all of that. Now, to go through the history, one thing that's interesting about this, at the deadline, the Rockets said he was fine medically. They cleared him to play. The Pistons did not. So this would actually be the complete reverse of that, because last week we know that he went through physicals in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn cleared him. That's why they made the initial offer to him. And now the Rockets, if they were to fail him, it's the complete opposite of February, in that, you know, back then the Rockets cleared him, but the other team didn't. Now it looks like the other team's clearing him, but there might be an issue with the Rockets' side. So that would be very interesting, but again, I think there's a lot of jumping to conclusions going on with very limited information. It could be just as simple as wanting to get more information. But what do you do if you're the Rockets? Again, if it's even close, I think they'll end up finding a way to make it work, because the lack of the long-term commitment now that they redid the contract If you have even a reasonable chance, 50-50, of him being healthy, then I think they'll do it because it's not like they can spend that money elsewhere, really, and it's not like it's going to hurt their salary cap position at all. I think they will give Demo the benefit of the doubt if at all possible. If they fail him on the physical, then honestly, I think that's it. Even if they could fail him on the physical, and I think they could still keep him his rights in restricted free agency, but it's really tough to fathom a scenario where if this contract doesn't get the deal done, if the Rockets aren't comfortable with this, I can't fathom another deal where they would be, really. I really do think if they fail him, it's because there's something they are genuinely, truly concerned about, and this would be the end of the road. But again, that's very, very premature. I don't think we're there yet. I think some of it is just a legal liability thing. The Rockets were not ready for him to take the court on Saturday, and well, he tried to, so it got a little bit uncomfortable. One thing I will say that I was wondering Saturday afternoon, and I told myself I was being paranoid, because the Rockets, within an hour of the news leaking on Monday that they were going to match the contract, the press release came out. I got it Monday afternoon that they were matching. They never had any press release on Friday, never did on Saturday, so clearly it was taking a little bit longer than the first go-round, so I was a little bit suspicious as to what's going on. Demo says it's not medical, but again, you can't really trust a player in this situation, because a player is worried about his long-term viability. Even if it was medical, I don't think Demo would want to share that himself, because it potentially limits his earning power on this contract, any others around the NBA. So I don't necessarily take what Demo said at face value, not calling him a liar, but just think about what the obvious motivations are here for both parties. Now, as far as what it means for the Rockets, we've covered before why he's a good fit on this team. Short term, it's obviously not a huge loss because, well, if Monty Unis does not go to the team, how can you miss something you never had? The Rockets are 17-7 now. They've now got three successful centers, Capella, Nene, and Montrezl Harrell. All of those guys have shown flashes at moments this year. So it's not some sort of devastating loss. I think they'd like to have him, but they're very comfortable with the guys in that locker room right now. Where it potentially hurts you is what I was talking about earlier with the Oklahoma City game. You do still have a little bit of a shortage of guys who can create their own offense. And I think you'd also like to have another big who could shoot threes and move the ball well in this offense. That's the thing that holds you back. Now, the upside is that I don't think Monty Unis is enough to make you a true championship contender by himself. I think he would help, and he might help you grind out a couple extra playoff wins this year, given his unique skill set. But big picture, I don't think he is the difference between this team right now and true title contention. Big picture, you're still looking at, won't say it's unfathomable due to the trade deadline. You have to wait and see who's on the market. But probably July 2017 free agency is the more likely way to go when it comes to that kind of player. But for right now, he does help you at least incrementally with some of the weaknesses we've seen on this year's team. So it would be a loss, but if it doesn't work out, I don't think it's anything to second guess. If it doesn't work out, my immediate reaction would just be basically being sad, mostly for Demo, because, again, if the Rockets void this with terms that favorable, it must be a very, very serious issue. Now, again, I'm going to restate over and over again, we have not gotten to that point yet. All we know now is that the Rockets want more time. And my guess is that if it is at all salvageable, they will give Demo the benefit of the doubt because of how good that contract is, because of the lack of long-term flexibility, because of the lack of long-term commitment. I think they'll err on the side of giving Demo the benefit of the doubt. But if that's not how it goes, then I do think that's the end of the line for him and the Rockets. Just stay tuned, because I do think we'll hear either Sunday or Monday. It can't go on forever. I believe there's a 72-hour period that teams have to basically do the medicals. That was the case in February at the trade deadline, because there was a transaction made. They have 72 hours. In theory, I don't know if that applies here, because it's not a transaction, it's just a signing. But again, I think that's pretty standard. Teams are conditioned because of those rules to get their assessments quickly. So I would not anticipate this dragging out until, deep in the week. I think maybe today, that's Sunday, at the latest, I would say Monday. But I think we're going to have some clarity, and hopefully it works out because, well, the Rockets are home this week. I said before, this is a great week to potentially get him in, because you're going to have practices I'm not sure if they're practicing on Sunday, but I would definitely presume they practice on Tuesday and Thursday. That's the off days in between games. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, they are home at Toyota Center for all of those. Actually, just found out they will not practice Sunday. Understandable, because it's they just went through a back-to-back, so they probably do need a rest day. But Tuesday and Thursday, they'll have practices, so that's a good opportunity to integrate. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, those are all home games. Hopefully, if you continue to take care of business against overmatched opponents, you can get a blowout in at least one or two of those games, which might be an opportunity to actually let him play some low-leverage minutes. But for now, before we get there, we just need Monty Unis to get cleared, period. And as you watch the Texans game Sunday, as you go about your normal weekend day, stay tuned to Twitter, because I kind of suspect that we'll hear more on that front before the day is through. Anyway, on that note, I will wrap up today's show. Again, I'm Ben Dubose with Sports Talk 790. Thanks to all you guys for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can also email me at lockedonrockets@gmail.com if you've got questions for me about the Rockets, or if you would just like to inquire about becoming a potential sponsor of this show, just as betdsi.com was today. Remember, if you go to their website, that's betdsi.com, they've currently got a great NBA special. Sign up with the promo code ROCKETS10 and you get $10 free to try their service. And they're also offering you a 100% bonus on your first deposit if you can choose to continue with them moving forward. Again, that's today's sponsor, betdsi.com. For now, I'm going to sign off. Rockets, they're off today. No practice, no anything, resting after the back-to-back. But they are home Monday night against the Brooklyn Nets. Ironically, the team that cleared Donatas Moneyunas, so we'll see where he is by then. Hopefully he's at least with the Rockets. And, well, even if he is, I'm sure he and his buddies in Brooklyn will have a lot to discuss. But I'll be chatting with you again from Toyota Center before and after that game. For now, enjoy your Sunday. Thanks for listening to Locked On Rockets. And I'll be talking with you again throughout the week from Toyota Center. Have a good one.